Ahmad Anderson is here?
Yes.
There he is. Ahmad has two roles. He'll be reporting as the IGM from KPFA, but he's also going to be reporting as our Human Resources Director. Yeah. 45 minutes. As the home team, the GM from the station we're visiting gets a longer time to speak.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. That's exactly right. You can. I'm sorry. They should be all stapled together there. Those are the actual mass committee reports for the human resources report. Have you? The second one that's being passed out is, the heading is Human Resources Director Ahmad Anderson, and then it lists the mass committee members there. That's actually my GM report, but that's how it was collated by the office. So the first one you're receiving is the Human Resources Report, information provided by the mass search committees, management search committees, for the four Pacifica Foundation general managers. I believe myself and also the board chair requested that the mass committees submit their reports, not only to him, but I also requested it. As you're aware, in April, the PNB mandated that the mass committees be able to move forward with the search and recruitment process. Thank you, sir. The search and recruitment process, of which they did. The reports were submitted by KPFA Chair Sasha Futron, WBA Chair Carolyn Burden, and WPFW Chair Revlin Gold. KPFA started late in the process, however, they moved very quickly. That's a particular station that I've been working directly with since April. They've now managed to get down, I think the number of resumes they received were 53, and they've been able to whittle it down to 11 candidates. They will be then conducting interviews August 9th and 10th at KPFA, where they will move down to whittling down that 11. Then they will then, which is up for discussion, but we won't take place here, will then have that group move forward to their LSB, and from there, their LSB will move that to the executive director, Arlene Engelhardt. At WBAI, they had, I believe, 60-plus resumes. They had a meeting, what's today, the 16th? They had a meeting July 15th. Scheduled to have a meeting. Their next meeting is July 22nd. They are also moving towards their short list. The discussion is up, and then again, where that moves to the LSB, and then from the LSB to Arlene Engelhardt. They also provided within that report, and we are still going through that at all the stations that have reported, where the actual candidates or prospective candidates saw the ads, so that we can track that for EEOC compliance reasons, make sure that it was in a print as well as done online. We did have some opportunity, I believe, at PFW, that we did do it on public television as well. We covered nationally newspapers across the board. We did additional advertisements after April, which then increased the number of prospective candidates for the GM positions across the country. At WPFW, I believe they received 74 resumes, and 73, 74. Oh, yes, 73, 74. There are some resumes that did come after the close of the deadline. The only group that did open until filled was KPFA, to my understanding. And so we did receive some. The agreement was that any resumes that were received from the station, where copies were then sent to me, and any resumes that I received, I then sent the copy or the email transmission to them. So that way the transparency of what we had was the same, and so we also officially had the resumes at the Pacifico National office as well. I corresponded with each of the candidates that I received resumes from through all the search committees by sending them a letter, by via email. In any correspondence I did, I blind copied each one of the chairs and the executive assistant, administrative assistant in the office. I also blind copied as well as James DeLong, the HR manager, who was assisting in the process from KPFA. And then I also forwarded the same group of individuals, and I also included the chairs as well, but I also included the chairs on any correspondence as far as resumes that were sent. So there were at least minimum three people blind copied to make sure that they knew what I was doing at every particular point in the process, and that, again, all the transparency was there. So that everybody, if there were any questions, they could be shared with their chairs as well. As you also know, that I did meet with the mass committees via a conference call. I met with BAI, WW, and as well as A. I had the opportunity around another personnel issue to meet with T's committee as well. In the search process, I have met again with WBAI as of last week, I think it was, to discuss a couple more issues about tracking and where the resumes were coming from, moving down the line, how they will conduct their final interviews, and some of the process. In a way to better pinpoint exactly what they wanted for their general managers in the area of programming, worked with James DeLong on putting together a survey, I believe it was, through SurveyMonkey, is that what it's called, and which they were trying to track more information involving the programmers in the process, what I think was a great idea. And, you know, in the beginning of our discussion around the search for the general managers, everyone was going to be a little bit different. And it was not a cookie cutter for your general manager. There are certain knowledge, skills, and abilities and other characteristics that are needed for each of those stations. And so with that in mind, WPFW, working with James, moved forward and putting it together. I don't know if there are any results yet at this particular time. Those were not forwarded to me, or I have yet to get it in my email, but I'd love to be able to see that so we can keep that as a record. So those of you that sit on that committee and you directors from DFW, I'm sure would appreciate if you could pass it along as well. The game plan, as Arlene mentioned before, was that we hope that folks would have submitted their information for their candidates by July 15th, but they did not. I think that the plan, as I have provided council recommendation, is that we'd like to be able to sit the general managers, all of them, by the next meeting in October. And so we'd be able to have those up and offer those up. That is the wish. Whether or not that takes place, I'm not sure, but I will continue to assist and drive the process as much as I can with the help of James and the chairs, and meet with the committees as necessary as you move forward to your LSBs and as you move forward from the LSBs to move your candidates forward to your executive director. I can stop now for questions on that particular issue if you'd like me to do that.
That seems like a good idea. Campbell?
Thank you. I know that you're reviewing the materials that you receive very closely, and if you see that any committee is going off the track, so to speak, what have you done or what will you do in so far as helping them to get back on track and function in an effective fashion? Because hiring a senior person, a executive staff person, is not like hiring somebody at a much lower level.
You're absolutely correct. And so what I've done with WBAI as of late, I met with the Mass Committee. We had a conference call, as I said. As I mentioned before, there were some issues and some questions that were coming. I received several email. I then, as many of you know, I do not always get into the back and forth of the emails unless it's appropriate. I feel it's appropriate then for me to step in and then make a recommendation, sort of bring the group together and try to facilitate the meeting of the minds and what the focus is and what the what resolution that the group is seeking. And in that particular case, I did. I recommend that we meet, have a meeting and begin to put those issues on the table and make sure that we were staying on point and make some corrections as needed from a official capacity with my professional background being in human resources.
Marcel? And then Alex?
Yes.
Okay. Marcel Reed, WPFW. Okay. I have two questions, and I'm on the Mass Committee, and I have two questions. One of them is that I think it's difficult from reading the job description to delineate exactly what the general manager does as opposed to what the program director does. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I think it would be much easier, at least with our committee, if we had an org chart. I think an organizational chart would help us just because it tells who reports to who, direct lines of authority, and specifically in very concise language what that person's functions are. And I've noticed that as we've even gone through the resumes, the 73 or 4, who knows, of resumes we went through, when we were trying to do the culling process, that often tripped us up. Because I don't think that the positions are delineated well enough to know exactly what to look for with the resumes we've received.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And so to answer your first question, I requested of the general managers, some who are now interim and some who are not, excluding Berto, to put together an org chart of their stations. I'll just say I did not receive all of those and continuously sent them emails to do that prior to this process so that it would give the line of sight for the Mass Committees as well as the individuals who are presently working, because what I did in my first, when I first came on as a consultant, as many of you know, I traveled throughout the country and I visited with the sites. And in the process of that, I did an audit, an HR audit, reviewing not only the documentations, but what the lines of communication were as in regards to who was in charge, who were the folks that were aligned according within the org chart? What was the communication process other than email? Did you have regular staff meetings? Had you had performance evaluations? When was the last performance evaluation done? Do you do one-on-ones? Do you do group evaluations with your department heads and your department units? So I did that. I then gave back the information to the general managers and requested them to go through this process. And then I met with them again in my travels as well as doing phone calls and developing a leadership conference call devoid of what we had as a general staff meeting, but myself as the chair of the HR with the general managers as well as Pacifico National Office individuals across the board. So with that being said, all those kind of steps and measures were put in place to provide sort of disseminate exactly what that could be done. So when we got to this process, we'd have that for you to be able to go through. Now, in the program development, director position, we do have a job description, but we have not submitted that to the group to break it down as we did for the general managers. So if there is some confusion, which there was sort of at W, and it is elsewhere, you all took the type of steps that you wanted to vet that with your programmers to find out what are the skills other than just leadership, but also the financial structure, but their ability to be able to communicate with the program director to be able to make the decisions other than just reductions, but also the combination of programming that would increase listenership and bring people who have been away back to the table and to the family.
Leslie?
Thank you for the comprehensive report. I don't see in our package a report from KPFK. Am I missing something? And can you explain?
So, as many of you know, I'm not the one to get into the fights, and I don't do that. I'm not like that. I know that there was great discussion of whether or not I was handling my job to the best of my ability in driving the leadership for this HR department around this search. I know that in April, there were demands for me to show up at the meeting and be held accountable for not moving the process the way that some wanted to. I am an HR professional, and I have 15-plus years of doing that work. The way that I structure it and met with the groups was the way that I believe that not only my training, but made sure that we were not legally at risk from doing the search in the proper way. It was then made a decision here, which I did not agree on, that the mass committees take them forward and do what they do with them, with some guidance in me to oversee in the ways possible with the assistance of HR manager James DeLong. I have constantly been involved, regardless of what you mandated, because I believe it's the right thing for me to do, because ultimately I'd be held accountable. And so I've constantly communicated. As I said, I blind copied, I sent emails, I made Arlene aware, George was aware of what I've been doing on backside, and several other board members as well. And I made a request, I think 2 to 3 weeks ago, there's one of the chairs who's here, to submit a report of whether they were, so I could submit that report as the report from the HR department. The director who made that request that it be removed from me was contacted and spoken to on the phone. The date that was given was this past Tuesday for that to be submitted. So to my surprise, one, we have never heard from her again. In fact, I continue to send resumes and communicate. Christine Neerit, the executive administrative assistant, stayed in contact with her continuously. I did not know. And on the 13th, she said she would submit it by the 13th. We called her on Friday. I have not heard from her. I expected that she would be here. I'm here with a report. But the reports that were submitted, the ones that reported. So I've done my job. But I'm not calling for anybody to bring her up on any charges.
Thank you.
Alex?
Excuse me, but I think your last remark was inappropriate.
Thank you.
I would like to ask you, could you give us an explanation why it has taken so long to get this process going? I'm, of course, most familiar with my own station, WBAI, and we've had a management search committee there for about a year, and we have yet to do one single interview, as far as I know. Do you have any explanation? I'm not blaming you.
I don't feel that you are.
I just like to hear your explanation of why you think it's been going this slow.
So to respond, one of the things that you already said, my comment was appropriate because I am doing my job, and as I want to reiterate, I'm not asking anybody to be on Director Reese. If that, you know, I'm just saying I want to make that clear. But I also want to say to you that the way that it was proposed by your HR director from the beginning was that your HR director receive all the resumes with the assistance of the HR manager from KPFA as the HR professionals, based upon the job descriptions that were agreed upon by the stations, going through the process, looking at the qualifications, finding the diamonds that you're looking for and the ingredients that you believe from the talent that you're requesting, knowledge, skills, and ability, send that back to you all, those mass committees. Those mass committees then review them and rank them so that they had their top 15, rank them, break that down to the 3 to 5 candidates, submit that to the LSB, LSB submit that to your executive director. Done. Spend a lot of time educating some, not everybody, on how to review resumes, how to go through the, how do you rank resumes, what you do, what are you going to do once you get that done. I also understand that a lot of folks wanted to reconfigure the mass committees because there was a question of that if you're no longer on the board or longer an LSB member, then you can't be on the mass committee. So we went through that process. The other thing is I work every day, including weekends, as many of you know, at all times of the hour. The mass committees are professionals in other fields. They have families and jobs and everything else. They meet every 2 weeks, or when are we going to have the next meeting? We were supposed to have the meeting. So that's why there have been delays in the process.
Sean?
Yeah, I'd like to set the record straight here. You were given in around January a list, a very diverse list of broadcasters by Director Reese, who you've now named, and when nothing was posted for over 3 months, she came to you and asked you directly why they were not posted. You then called me and told me she threatened your job. She did not threaten your job. She merely wanted the facts straight, and she wanted to hold you and the management accountable. That is not a threat to your job. She would be here tonight, except that she had a medical emergency, and she will be here tomorrow, God willing. So I just want to set the record straight. And I think it was an unfair attack on somebody who has worked very, very hard to pull this together. And I'm really disappointed in the way that you have framed this. Thank you.
Well, Director, I want to say to you that you weren't on that phone call when she called me.
You told me she threatened your job. You called me and told me that.
Yes, but you weren't. You're right, Director O'Brien, but I'm just saying. You weren't on the phone call with me when she called me. And that's only fair. So I only told you how I felt. The other piece is, yes, we all know there were emails out there. There were accusations made in print. I'm not going to debate that with you. I appreciate your comments, sir.
She was holding you accountable. It was not a threat, and that is a terrible mischaracterization of a very hardworking director.
And I work hard, too, Director O'Brien.
Yes, well, that's debatable, too,
sir. This is getting beyond anything useful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
thank
that.
Would
you know better.
Can we go on to the GM report?
Yes, you may. So I'll read the GM report from KPFA. As you know, I started in on April 1st, and the charge at that particular time was to continue to move forward with the 2010 implementation. Budget plan, which was to do the reduction of the budget by, I believe, $423,000 by September 1st of 2010. So I'll kind of read to you in order to get through this so the questions can be asked, and I know there will be some, about where we are and what our time frame is moving forward. And I submitted this to the local station board recently, but I'm going to submit it to you all as well. Per my last KPFA GM report, June 10, 2010, the plan was to reduce our KPFA payroll and expenditures by $300,000. We've reduced the budget by $205,524. There are several individuals who are on the vacation or leave who I still need to speak with regarding their employment status or reduction in hours. Unfortunately, they will not return until the end of July 2010. We are on target to reduce our KPFA budget by $300,000 on or before August 1st 2010. My goal is to meet the required KPFA reduction by $423,000 by September 1st, 2010. In that particular area, that it also means that we were asked to look at the reduction of our full-time employees from between 6 to 8 individuals. We have reduced that, I believe, by, we are at 6 at this, we've reduced it to 6 point, I'm not exactly sure on the number there. We hope to reduce our FTE to 28 by August 1st. And LeBron, what is the headcount presently? Is it 30? It's 30. So we'll be moving from 30 to 28 by August 1st. I made every effort to aggressively reduce the KPFA budget as mandated by both the PMB and KPFA LSB. Upon my appointment as IGM, we were still behind the scheduled deadline to meet these required objectives. I felt very uncomfortable walking into the general manager position, like a hired gun, reducing work hours, jobs, and possibly programs. To complicate matters, there were numerous pending issues that required my immediate attention every day. We immediately went into union contract negotiations. We had, I spent 2 weeks dealing with lawsuits and depositions on ongoing cases that some of, some date back, I think as far back as 2003, that I didn't have knowledge of, so I had to read documents to go through that process because they required the most knowledgeable person in hiring or employment practice to be able to respond to those. We dealt with a number of employee grievances that had been on the table for, I'd say, probably about a year and a half or more that were never dealt with. And so I had to address those with CWA. There is numerous employee conflict resolutions that I had to send facilitate, not only amongst individuals, but amongst programs as well. A lot of that stemming from reductions that I had not been a part of, which folks felt were not done with equity and fairness. Also the low paid, the low morale of paid and unpaid employees in the station was extremely bad. I mean, there was a great deal of absenteeism, there was a great deal of strife, and so in order to meet that, I scheduled staff meetings, and for some of them, that was the first staff meeting they had had in probably 3 to 4 years, and also did one-on-ones with every individual and had open hours for employees, paid and unpaid, to come and speak to me about it, whatever issue was they had on the table, introducing themselves as well, met with departments, department heads, as well as meeting with programs and shows and their staff to talk about where they were, where we'd like to be able to go with them, and some of the things that they would like to try to do with their programs. Also trying to manage the conflict that exists between KPFA and the local station board. There seemed to be a real disconnect in how they communicated with one another or communicated at all. Trying to get an understanding about that because I was new to that. So that seems to be an ongoing process. And then just the politics of KPFA trying to understand that and how, and trying to get folks to understand how that impacts the day-to-day operations of the station and the perception, as was mentioned earlier, not only to the other stations, but the community at large and the nation, as far as that goes, being KPFA being the mother, so to speak. So I need your understanding and your help. It was a mess when I arrived, and it has been for some years. There's been a detrimental disconnect between the PNB, KPFA, LSB, and the community at large. I'm making every effort to renew our lines of communication and collaboration. It's you, me, us together that can make the change necessary to put KPFA back on track. My door, my mind, my heart are always open to the KPFA, LSB, and the PNB. I also have the programming part if you'd like me to read that, or you can read that yourselves. And
okay, whatever you prefer. Questions for Tony about the station? Tracy? Okay, Tracy, and then Campbell and Joe.
Okay. Okay, hi, Ahmad.
I'm sorry.
So I'm going to make a comment followed by two questions as quickly as I can. Before the first comment, I just want to say I do understand that you walked into a mess, and I do understand that taking on any project with a charge to make reductions in the scary amount of $423,000 is not a good place to be. And I just want to put that out. That's a challenging, uncomfortable, difficult position. And I think that needs to be understood. That said, as a board member, both local and national, I'd like to express to both the ED and to you that I think we are somewhat overdue in terms of getting comprehensive information about the way that the reductions have been implemented. I think that's required. I think that it's not a question of interfering with the process, but it is a question of fulfilling our responsibilities to understand the process. And I would ask that that kind of reporting be provided to both the local and at least the Finance Committee of the National Board soon.
And it will. It will be.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there. I have requested it before, and I've not yet gotten it, so I'm hoping that, you know, I'm putting it out again that I think it needs to happen. That is part of cooperation, collaboration,
absolutely,
working together. Okay. So the two quick questions that I have on another process, on another sort of leg, totally, I'd like a little bit of information regarding KPFA's budget process and how that's going. Again, I serve on the Finance Committee, and these things are asked of me, and I do not know the answer, and I want to. So I'm asking about that, how that's going, and sort of an ETA. And then the last question relates to, I don't know quite how to do this in open session, so let me try.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, we'll just forget it.
Okay.
You mentioned through the HR process the use of some consultants, and I know that KPFA has had an ongoing sort of budgetary implosion in
mm-hmm.
that category.
Yeah.
So I'd just like to ask a little bit for sort of a status update. My understanding is we're going to sort of end the use of non-employee consultants in general because really our budget doesn't allow for it.
Correct.
You can't cut $423,000 in staff and then, you know, plunk in a bunch of,
right,
of consultants. It just doesn't work.
No, ma'am.
So I'm just sort of asking for are we bringing that to an end? And is there
it is complete.
Is there a policy?
It is completed. There are no more consultants at KPFA.
Okay.
There's one, but it's our web person, which we've got to have.
Oh, the web guy. Okay.
Yeah, Roger. And for the budget, we moved him out, and we're using him to manage the Drupal process that we
mm-hmm.
need to have. But no, that process with the HR manager is done.
That's okay. So a little bit on the budget process.
On the budget process. Yes, we've begun that process. We worked through some numbers throughout this week. There was a delay because in preparation for this, but you should have that, I'd say, by the beginning of next week.
Ahmad, my apologies for getting your names wrong. I was thinking of Tony Fest. Is he here?
Yeah.
Tony is here.
Tony, were you planning on giving a report?
Yes.
Okay. We're out of time for Ahmad. Some sessions back, the PNB decided that we would have the LSP. Actually, it was the first one of this year that we would have the LSP chair also give a report. So, Tony.
It's Anthony, please.
Anthony, sorry. How much time do you think you'll use? Are there more questions for Ahmad?
Please ask my question. Primarily, where is his report? Do we get copies?
Yeah, he passed it up. It's
no, not the HR report.
Yeah, there's a KPFA.
It's a little bit mixed up, but it's all in there.
Okay.
Ahmad, we just have one more question from Jennifer.
Sorry.
I was just curious, how many FTEs do you have in your news department now?
I right off the top of my head, I can't.
Around?
think it's maybe four. Maybe four.
Because you had like seven.
Yes, we did have seven. Oh, well, prior to me coming on, we did have seven.
So you eliminated three.
Yeah, we have eliminated, we've reduced the hours across the board.
Okay, so they're not full-time.
Oh, reduce the hours. Oh, not me or her.
They're not
yes.
full-time anymore.
Yeah, we reduced some folks that are not full-time anymore. Yes.
Okay. But did you, like, retain all everybody and just reduce the hours of everybody?
At this particular no. Some people have, we moved, some people have been reduced out of the budget altogether.
Okay.
And then some folks have been reduced in their hours. Yes.
Okay, I just
so I mean we've gone across. Trust me, we've gone across the board. If there's somewhere to reduce, except for one particular area, and it's more of a how do we operate the station without having these technical people kind of structure.
Well, yeah.
But other than that, yeah.
You know, I mean, coming from WBAI, where we have a
right
complete skeleton staff.
You do indeed.
We have what 1.5 FTEs in news. It was kind of shocking to us that you were so overloaded with news people. You know, we thought it was a bit overkill. Not that I want to see anyone lose their job, obviously.
Exactly, I understand but, that. I mean, like I said, having gone across the network and looking at what they've done, seeing how they are able to operate in some cases, I mean, you can have that conversation with the Texas folks about how many people they have in the news department. So, you know, so oh yeah, and LA as well. So
I definitely understand.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anthony Fest, who's the chair of the KPFA LSP. Well, 10 minutes.
That's more than ample. Good morning or good evening, PNB members. I'm Anthony Fest, the chair of the LSB. I'm also a member of the unpaid staff. I do the Sunday evening newscasts on KPFA. On behalf of the LSB and the staff, I'd like to welcome everyone to Berkeley. I understand these reports by the host LSB chair have been kind of free form in the past, so I guess I'll continue with that. I'd like to speak mainly about programming. I hope these ideas will be useful to you and perhaps provoke some thoughts about your own stations. As I said, I don't think this will take more than 5 minutes. Here at KPFA, of course, we're doing a great many good things. We have a remarkable array of music programs ranging from hip-hop to jazz to reggae to Bach and more genres yet. We do our newscasts 7 days a week, not 5 days a week, and I'm glad to be part of the weekend news. We have a big lineup of public affairs programs, and I think I'd be remiss if I didn't take a moment to offer kudos to the Flashpoints and Hard Knock Radio for their recent coverage last week of the breaking story of the Johannes Messerli verdict. They did a great job in covering an unfolding story. But as to our public affairs offerings, there are a lot of gaps as well. We don't have a program by and for the black community. We don't have a program by and for the LGBT community. We've got only 1 hour a week of programming for the Asian American communities, whereas I would say the Chinese and Filipino communities individually could easily merit programs of their own. We have a women's program, but it barely survived the previous management. We used to have a program for young adults, Youth Radio. That was taken off the air abruptly, again, by the previous management. As far as I know, we've never had a program for seniors, although the U.S. population, of course, is aging. and other media seem to ignore seniors except as a market for pharmaceuticals. So, and then of course we don't have a program about the most invisible population of all. I'm speaking of the 2 million or so people behind bars in jails or prisons in this country. Our station, unfortunately, doesn't pay much attention. Most stations seem not to. I don't doubt that in this area of nearly 7 million people and with a famous tradition of activism, that there are people who'd be eager to come into KPFA and do programs for the issues in the communities I've spoken about. And in fact, even stations with more modest budgets in areas with smaller populations are doing some of these things. For example, at KBOO in Portland, they do have a program about prisons. They have a program for veterans. They have a queer program. Some of the other programs they have, Persian art and music, Islamic point of view, Portland Yiddish Hour, Radio Free Ireland. Now at our sister station, KFCF in Fresno, there's a queer program, there's an African-American program, there's even a Cambodian program. I don't know how, of course, those programs got on the air at those stations, but here at KPFA, it appears not only is the door closed, but there's no doorknob to turn and no doorbell to ring. Programs seem to be by invitation only to the favored few. What concerns me is not only what's missing from our program grid, but the process by which programs are introduced or not introduced. We've averaged slightly over one new program a year, so we've not been innovative in the 21st century. Also, most of the new programs we've added came in a span of relatively few years, 2002 through 2006. And that happened to be the time when we didn't have a program director. That's when we added Guns and Butter. That's when we added Voices of the Middle East. That's when we added our disability program, Pushing Limits. That's when we added Apex Express, our Asian Public Affairs program. We did get a PD in 2006, and then the pace of new programming slowed down instead of speeding up. Now, as LSB members, we're not charged with making program decisions ourselves, but we certainly have enough to do anyway. But the bylaws do say that our duties include seeing that program decisions and evaluations are made in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner. It doesn't specify that there needs to be a program council, but I think that's the most obvious way of carrying out that responsibility. And if we are indeed community radio, the decision-making on programming, and in my opinion, should not rest with just one individual. One no shouldn't be able to block a new idea from coming in. One little anecdote here. I honestly don't mean this to be self-serving, but on my weekend news program, a good many months ago, this person contacted me and said she wanted to do stories about Rwanda. And I said, well, okay, tell me about Rwanda. And she said, well, they're supposedly having a presidential election, but the opposition parties are being harassed and their meetings broken up. And I said, oh, okay, let's find out more about this. She went ahead and did stories about the Rwandan presidential campaign, if you want to call it such. She had contacts with several of the candidates and was able to interview them and put them in her stories and put that on our air on the weekend news. We've never had anything of that nature before. I don't know of any other reporter who could contact multiple presidential candidates in another country and get them in a news story. So her name is Ann Garrison, and I just mention her This is an example of how things ought to work at our station and then at other community radio stations. Someone with expertise comes and says, hey, I'd like to do such and such, and lo and behold, there is an opening. She's able to come in and do this work. As I say, she's been doing these stories on the weekend news for quite some months now, and so she's been way ahead of Amy Goodman, who only just interviewed the American attorney who was jailed for a time in Rwanda. Amy interviewed him after he came back, and has been interviewing him regularly in the weeks and months before he went over to Rwanda to represent one of the candidates who'd been thrown in jail. So that's not to my credit, that's to her credit. I was just the person she happened to approach, and I said, yeah, okay. So I think that's an example of the way it ought to be. More broadly, some of us on the LSB are trying to get our program council restarted. I, of course, think we still do need a program director, but I think the major programming decisions ought to be made in a collective way. There's, of course, nothing magical about a program council. It can degenerate into a situation of mutual back-scratching where the status quo is preserved and new programs can't get in. That's why I'd say there's got to be substantial listener representation on a program council. It can't be all staff. And the membership should rotate regularly. Our previous program council had paid staff, unpaid staff, several LSB members and community reps chosen by the LSB. Okay, so to sum up with four of the five GM chairs right vacant at the moment, I think it's fair to say we're in a state of managerial limbo and certainly in unprecedentedly difficult financial times as well, but ultimately we'll stand or fall based on how well we do programming. I think if programming stays an insider's game, we'll probably stagnate. On the other hand, if we welcome innovation, if we open our doors to our communities, bring in new voices and new ideas, then I think and hope we'll look forward to a brighter future. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. We actually have 1 minute. Go ahead.
Thank you, Anthony. That was a real breath of fresh air. I've been advocating some kind of program council type structure at WBAI, and I run into resistance similar to what you're describing. I really appreciate your talk.
Oh, I thank you, and I should add that the program council was actually had existed for many years. It was. It was the status quo, not the change. So we're trying to bring it back.
Jennifer?
Go ahead.
I really want to congratulate you on that presentation, especially for being a member of the staff and wanting listeners to have input in programming. It is truly a breath of fresh air. Our LSB, as well some members, would like to see a programming council with staff and with the community collaborating in a process to bring in new programming to our stations. So thank you very much.
Oh, most welcome.
Okay. We have...
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Richard?
I'd like to make a motion that we extend our time until 10 o'clock instead of stopping at 9:30.
So we'll take listener comment from 9 to 9:30 and then keep on going with what's next is is committees and working groups reports. The first one is a 20-minute promotions task force. There's no way to do it if we don't extend time, but we can do it tomorrow. So is there a second for Richard's motion?
Second.
Okay. Is there any objection to Richard's motion? Okay. Can we take a vote on this? It requires two-thirds. It's a change of agenda. Is there any objection to going to a vote on this? Okay. All those in favor of extending till 10 o'clock, please raise your hand.
You guys are troopers.
All those opposed, please raise your hands. Okay.
If you give us the drugs, Iran, we'll
work. Yeah. Was that a hint?
What's that?
No, it's not, right?
I think it's because they're not on.
You know,
it's midnight.
Do we have a list of people who want to speak? Has it been circulated? Haven't seen one. Well, okay. Put your hands up if you'd like to speak, so we get an idea how much time every person. Just two, three people. Anybody else? Three people, four people. Anybody else? Five people, six people.
My name is Brian Bragg. How much time?